Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining me today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. Is it me or is that Mark Zuckerberg? Absolutely gorgeous. Have you seen that beard on him? That better not be a trick, Mark. That better not be a trick. We've got a lot of fantastic news for you today. We're talking about, of course, have you seen this yet? Have you seen that there are companies funded by the CIA setting up media organisations to accuse people of being pro-Putin agitators when all we're doing, and I say we because I'm one of them, along with Glenn Greenwald, Tucker Carlson, Mir Shimer, our man Jeffrey Sachs, remember that guy who went that time, saying that we're agitators on behalf of pro-Putin forces when actually what I'm doing is advocating for peace. I believe in peace. Spaceman Spliff 1371, he made a beard out of my pubic hairs. Are you claiming, Spaceman Spiff, that you are actually an AI entity? Good, I need some good news. Mike Johnson just sold us out for billions. Yep, that's the $95 billion bill that's just passed. You better believe we'll be covering that later. But will we be able to cover that on YouTube? Will we be able to cover that on a platform that functions as one of the pillars of the establishment? How do you feel about a political class that in the last couple of days has passed the Pfizer bill, meaning your government has got more surveillance powers, greater abilities to spy on you and us, because it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act or whatever the hell it's called. They're spying on us. They're spying on you. It's extraordinary. That's why we have to unify. That is why we have to unite. That's why you should become an Awakened Wonder right now. Become a member of our community. We're going to give you 1 month free if you use the code ISURRENDER. For that, you get so much. An exclusive video every week where we go deep. You get to join us for conversations with fantastic people. Roseanne Barr, Bobby Kennedy, Jordan Peterson, Alex Jones, Vandana Shiva. You get to go deep with us. Our Awakening Wonders like Curious Camilla and Sensitive Hearts and Ash Ella and Miss Molly, they'll tell you that this is the community that's the answer to what you've been looking for. That vast void within you now, that pain you're suffering from, that pain they want you to suffer from, we can appease it. And how the hell could you say no to a fart mug like that? Look at that crow fart mug. Don't you want to drink Marky Mark Zuckerberg's pubes out of a mug just like that? Of course you do. It's only human. It's only human nature, sweet Lord Jesus above. So we're going to be covering the incendiary event outside the Trump Trove. Have to be careful. It's one of those things that's censored. They do not like here when people make moves like that. I'm holding it together. My dog's really done a really, really bad fart. I'm alone in this room, so I'm not lying. If it was me, why would I bring it up? Why would I bring it up? I'm going to give him this, and he's going to think it's a sort of a reward for the farting, which is sort of an odd move, really. Also, in our book club, as Awakened Wonders, we read Mere Christianity. We're learning. We're doing our best. We're doing our very best. So join us if you can. And if, as I say, it's 1 month free. So if you don't like it, going to have to live with it. Russell, you made some weird quotes there. No one ever. Sundown Snowscape. I'm talking to the people in our Rumble stream. This is how it should be, the news. We are working together. That's why Rumble is a rival. to CNN. We're beyond CNN at this stage, aren't we? We're beyond Fox News. 24/7. You can be with me. You can be in the Bongino army. You can do what you got to do. I'm not drinking it. Christopher John James, drink it. If you think I'm drinking the Zuckerberg poo beard, you got another thing coming, baby. Let's have a look at, let's have a look at it. And then there's a bit where they're really sort of objectifying Mark Zuckerberg. I'm not sort of down with, really. But we've got, as I say, the main stories we're covering is the Pfizer bill, the $95 billion that's been passed, and the Trump event outside the courtroom. They've finally found the jurors. All that coming up in a fantastic show, as well as some fantastic reporting where we reveal how the CIA have been funding even Ukrainian media to shut down dissenting voices like mine, Glenn Greenwald, Tucker, all of that stuff. Okay, let's look at Mark Zuckerberg's sex chin. Here it is. People like it. Apparently. Let's have a look at a video with the odd objective.
People online have literally been thirsting over a new...
I was actually in charge of queuing that up, and I still put it on over my own voice. So what does that say?
Certain picture of Mark Zuckerberg. A screen grab of the Facebook co-founder...
He does look quite nice there. And I do sometimes in prayer, I think, come on. Like, I don't hate. There's no point hating. There's no point hating because it's all within the ecosphere of your own beingness. So we've say, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's on a PR drive, isn't he? Plainly, all of the BJJ, you know, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu and stuff, they're sort of trying to, because people think he's not properly human, don't they? I'm not saying that he's not that. I'm just, and I don't even mean he's an interdimensional being or a cyborg or anything like that. I'm saying, like, lacking empathy. Mainly perhaps because of just sort of how he looks or when he does that promo where he's in a t-shirt and everything. It's more, and also how he was rendered rather brilliantly by Jesse, what's his name, in the movie. Anyway, so he's on a PR drive. I do BJJ. I got this little sexy chin. But I don't know if that's what's important, given that, did you see what they tacked onto that $95 billion global war bill? Let's have a war over in China. Let's keep the Ukraine-Russia war going. Let's make things yet more incendiary in the Middle East. Also, ban TikTok, ban TikTok. They're throwing a kitchen sink at that thing. Russell, are you getting a cold? Yeah, I've got a cold, but we keep going, baby.
Putting rugged facial hair began making the rounds on X, leaving many in shock by his handsome new look. I'd zuck him off, wrote one.
That's actually disgusting, isn't it? That's actually disgusting. Like, I'm a comedian. I've been in a lot of trouble over the years for a variety of things, many of which are actual total constructions and media confections and psyops from a globalist corporate state that can't stand dissent. And we've got plain evidence for that. When it comes to Li Fang's fantastic reporting on the CIA creating assets, which we'll be covering later. And I think it's actually a bit rude to say I'd zuck him off just on the basis of a pun. I'd zuck him off.
One user, gonna tell my kids this was Jack Harlow edit another. Oh, come and zucker this berg, chimed in.
What's going on?
In a third person. However, Mark's sudden glow.
It's the banalization. That means, you know, make everything dumb. And desacralization, that's the removal of the holy, to make all things profane, to make all things lack beauty. So in the end, like, your whole life feels like the experience of being at, like, a McDonald's drive-thru. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, so that you're just sort of like, you're in a transactional experience, godlessly traveling through, like, oh, can I have a Happy Meal? I'll take the nuggets. We got some fantastic reporting coming up later this week of how big food companies and fast food outlets are lobbying your government to ensure that migrant workers can prevent ordinary Americans demanding a decent wage for their labor. Let's see, have a look at this banalization and objectification of Zuckerberg.
Up isn't what it seems. The original video can be found on Mark's Instagram page, which, by his bare face, made it quickly apparent that the facial hair was actually the...
It's making me angry because I'm participating in it. I'm not doing it anymore because they did that on purpose, didn't they? Like, this is promo for Meta. Isn't it? Well, let me tell you this about Meta. They depoliticized their content so that people don't see political content, which is actually a political act, i.e. they switched a switch on Instagram, didn't they, saying, if you want to see political content, which means content in, by our reckoning, that's potentially dissenting and adversarial to the agenda of the globalist state of which we are plainly an arm, you have to do all this stuff. Now, that's a bit of promo. Ah, oh, God! Surely one can only sip from the fart mug to find happiness. Go and order your fart mug now. There's a link in the description to get your fart mug. Sip from the fart mug. It's your only route to peace. Boston Dynamics have made another terrifying thing. Russell, you need a neti pot and some spicy Indian food to clear that up. I do like spicy Indian food, and I also do like a neti pot. That's like a little watering can. You pour salt water up your snout hole, and it, you know, it clears your nose out. But you always feel a bit weird when you're doing it, because it's like sort of doing, well, over the years, I'm sorry to admit that I have ingested powders up the hooter hole, but liquid, that's a, like, I'm not Ozzy Osbourne snorting a line of ants. And so we take another step towards hell. Former leader of my country, Britain, is promoting a book on Fox News. Note how she's not good at promoting things. Look at me, how I do this. Fart mug, get yourself a fart mug. Remember, every penny we raise from the fart mug helps people with addiction issues get into recovery. And if you want help, you let us know. We're here to help you, baby. Let's have a look at Liz Truss, badly former Prime Minister of our country, promoting a book badly. This is about two or three Prime Ministers back.
Stuff. Great to see you. Your thoughts.
Great to see you. And here's my new book. Just get it up. Sorry, I'm
there you go.
There we are.
Yeah, congratulations.
Sorry, here's my new fart mug available now. Oh, God, no, that's what do you do with a fart mug? Oh, what's that? Help me. She was in charge of a whole country. She can't be in charge of a book. Hey, you lot into the Tucker Rogan thing? Do you think it's getting shadow banned on YouTube? Y or N? Are they shadow banning it? Low numbers, right? So, yeah, there was a... I guess it's there. We're saying that these are the two biggest figures in independent media, right? And do you think it was getting shadow banned on YouTube? Let me know. Of course, the lawfare against Trump continues, a matter that is of minor interest to some degree, the appropriation of campaign funds to pay hush money to Stormzy Daniels. A lot of people, do you notice how the media always say, the historic trial, like, it's historic. This is history. This is actual history that we're watching now. They're shadow banning you too, Russ. You better believe it. We are being shadow banned within an inch of our lives. But with your support and your loyalty, we will grow this movement. They're terrified of us. You see how that WHO treaty is falling apart? Because independent media voices that are reaching you and the communities that we're creating together are opposing it. So the WHO treaty, they can't get that stuff through. Yeah, help our algorithm, as SL Grib says. Hit the like button. Leave comments, whatever platform you're watching it on, and after the first 15 minutes, which is coming up pretty soon, if you're watching us on YouTube, you have to click the link in the description and join us in that sweet stream of freedom that we call Lady Rumble. That can't stream in Brazil because they're turning it into a great nation of censorship. Beautiful country, but they're censoring it. It's already out of France because France wanted to ban Russia Today, in case you saw a bit of Russia Today and went, oh my God, I love Russia now. Let's have a look at this. This is the historic trial. Seven men, five women. Let's have a look at how the legacy media convey this extraordinary tale. It's very, very... It's just funny, I think, to watch. Yeah, no doubt. Tati Peel Neil, they're shadow banning it. Poo-tube, you're calling it, Royth Accuser. Yep. Sorry. That's why I pressed that. Don't worry. That's a story we've got later. Don't read that. Look away now. Look away. Trump jurors have been selected. Let's have a look at that.
This morning, seven men and five women have been sworn in to claim their place in American history as jurors in the first criminal trial of a former president. They include an investment banker who follows Trump on social media, a speech therapist who said she does not agree with a lot of his politics,
a judge with a grudge and a little bit of fudge, a low-status music industry worker, a little boy with three toes, and instead of hands, hooks. Like, who are these people? And also, I think that they're trying to make it sound a bit balanced, even in their praises on them. A school teacher who admires how Trump speaks his mind.
A school teacher who said she admires how President Trump speaks his mind. And a woman in product development who said, I don't like his persona, how he presents himself in public. All of them, though, pledged to give Trump a fair shake. The judge declared, "We have our jury." Trump eyed them all.
That's it. That's good, isn't it? That's like him doing it. Yeah, look at those guys.
Listening to their responses with arms folded across his chest. The day started with the judge excusing two people from the jury. An oncology nurse said she had concerns about her personal information becoming public and could no longer be fair and impartial. A grandfather was tossed for failing to reveal his arrest in the 1990s for tearing down posters that prosecutors said leaned to the political right.
The grandfather was my favorite one. He was the one that I was most into.
The judge also excused from the jury pool a woman whose social media post called Trump a racist, sexist, narcissist. When the woman read the posts in court, she said, "Oops, that sounds bad."
What that'll be, right, is Trump's lawyers will have gone through the jurors. When the jurors come forward, all Trump's lawyers are like, "Right, let's check these people's social media history." And then one woman who had made it that far had social media posts that said he's a racist, narcissist, psychopath, or whatever it said. So some of these jurors, at least some of them, will be people that are anti-Trump that are like, "Oh, I'm going to keep it down." In fact, didn't like the news advocate for that? I think CNN did. If you're in this jury pool, why don't you just say that you don't care about Trump and then get yourself on that jury? The truth is that the very fact that the trial is happening is an indication of the degree of partisanship, because it can't really be legitimately and actually about, "What? You use campaign funds to hush money Stormzy Daniels into silence? This is crazy. What are we going to do?" Let me tell you what real corruption looks like. A lobbying industry that allows migrant labor to capsize the ability of Americans to demand proper wages. What real corruption looks like is a $95 billion bill being passed to perpetuate wars on three fronts, essentially acknowledging that it is World War III that we're embarking on. Do you know what real crime looks like? A Pfizer bill being passed that allows unprecedented spying on the American population. This is the corruption that we oppose. These are the real crimes. And behind them, who are the real criminals? Let me know in the chat right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, you've got to click the link in the description. Let's start that countdown right now. We've done 15 minutes. If you want to become an awakened wonder, use the code ISURRENDER to get 1 month free. You'll be able to join our book club. You'll be able to join us for interviews. We've got Colonel Douglas McGregor coming on the show. He'll be exposing military-industrial complex corruption. Also, we've got COVID. Real bad. Is going anyone do an injection for this stuff? There's no time to test it against transmission. Just give me the jab. Click the link in the description. I don't worry about if there's side effects. Click the link. Join us over on Rumble. Oh, you know when one really gets you? Like in a church, or like when you can't do it. Or, you know, you can't stop it. Hey, guys. Thanks for coming over. It's good to talk to you, KRGO516. Don't talk to Spaceman. Absolutely will not. What? That's a dirty name. Listen, we're going to be talking about that $95 billion foreign war bill being passed. We're going to talk about Pfizer getting passed through your house of mad, corrupt lunatics. Kristen, the code is I surrender, all in caps, like you're screaming it, like you're screaming into the universe. I surrender! I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. That is not vodka. It's water. That's Scottish water from Scotland. That's poor my Scottish water. That's the best water on these damn islands, I tell you. Okay, now listen. As you know, your taxes are going to fund a variety of wars that will likely lead to a global apocalypse. That's what's happening with your taxes. If you try saying, "I don't want to pay taxes, I don't even agree with the government, I think we should all stop paying taxes." If you said anything like that, you are in some serious trouble, mate. You start saying we're not paying our debts back. You start saying we're not paying taxes. You start saying I'm going to become non-compliant. You are in trouble. So you have to pay your taxes. And that's why I'm pleased to announce that our partners, the Tax Network, will help you pay the minimum amount of tax to those corrupt, I'm going to say it, motherfuckers. Let's have a look at our partners. We can't continue to bring you this awakening and hopefully enjoyable content without the support of our partners. That's why I've got to ask you, and I'm glad to ask you, are you struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? The IRS is escalating collections, adding, get this, 20,000 new agents and sending over 5 million collection letters to kick off 2024 to spend on things that you probably don't agree with, like wars and measures and a total lack of infrastructure. In these challenging times, your best defense is Tax Network USA. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. With over 14 years of experience, Tax Network USA have saved their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. No matter the size of your tax issue, their expertise is your advantage. They specialize in negotiating with the IRS, aiming to significantly reduce your debt. Tax Network USA doesn't just negotiate, they also protect your assets from IRS seizures and manage your yearly returns for ongoing compliance. Importantly, they are licensed to help you with all state tax issues, regardless of where you live in the United States. The clock is ticking. Don't wait as the IRS steps up its game. Seize control of your financial future now. Contact Tax Network USA for immediate relief and expert guidance. Call 1-800-245-6000 or visit taxnetworkusa.com/brand. Don't let tax issues overpower you. Turn to Tax Network USA and find your path to financial peace of mind. Right, let's get back to this content. Hey there, you beauties, you. Well, that's the world where we can pay the minimum amount of taxes to these corrupt lunatics that accept donations, that receive lobbying dollars, that invest in stocks and shares of companies that appear to benefit from insider trading. Not that I'm suggesting that actually happens, right, kids? One of the things we have to address is the fact that perpetuating war seems to be of the supreme benefit for someone. How long can we continue to believe that we are supporting wars for humanitarian reasons? Does that stack up? Do you remember one of the things we learned in the pandemic period? We love human beings. Humanity is sacred. All human life is sacred. And therefore, if there's anything we can do to save just one life of one elderly person, we must do it. And therefore, we've all got to be locked in our homes and we've all got to take this medicine. Now, as an inadvertent side effect of that, I'm not talking about VARs or yellow card side effects now. An inadvertent side effect is some of the most powerful interests in the world are going to get wealthier, and it's going to get a hell of a lot easier to regulate and control a population. That's a coincidence, though. I don't want you starting to put two and two together and making revolution. That is the last thing we need. Remember, become an awakened wonder to get an additional video every single week. We've got Schellenberger coming up soon, and Dr. Nails. You're going to love Dr. Nails coming up on Friday. Schellenberger, you'll be able to, he's live. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. Okay, let's have a look at this. The House has passed. Okay. So, we know that the business of the establishment is war, and business is booming. The House has passed a $95 billion foreign war aid bill. They have packed together a number of extremely complex issues. It doesn't make sense to me, not a bit of sense, that escalating tensions in China, or certainly between the US and China, the escalating conflicts of the Middle East, and the Ukraine-Russia conflict can all be effortlessly bundled together. Nonetheless, that's what's happening.
The bill is passed.
After months of delays in GOP infighting, the U.S. House voting Saturday to provide $95 billion to allies abroad, a major win for the White House and Speaker Mike Johnson. In a rare move, Democrats crossing the aisle to help Republicans clear a series of foreign assistance bills. The package would provide $61 billion to help Ukraine fight Russia, $26 billion for Israel just days after Iran attacked the Jewish nation, and $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific, where the rise of China has national security experts worried. A fourth bill bans TikTok if its Chinese owner doesn't divest. And
what? You just added TikTok to that? Yeah, we've added TikTok. What? What's that got to do with it? Well, I'll tell you what it's got to do with it, is that TikTok is a site that is difficult to regulate for the authorities of the war establishment, the pro-war machine. Remember, the deep state are spending money condemning and smearing dissenting voices, ensuring that they're regarded as pro-Putin instead of anti-war. Why is the TikTok bill, the TikTok ban bill, tagged onto this $95 billion aid bill? Let me know in the Rumble chat. Let me know, Awakened Wonders. Let's have a look at this extraordinary story and how it's evolving with some fantastic analysis here. The resulting legislation will give congressional sanction to the Biden administration's policy of global war. The very fact that it will combine into a single whole the U.S. interventions in three widely separated regions, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and the Far East, gives expression to a fundamental change in world politics. The U.S. ruling elite views its conflict with Russia and China as interconnected. Russia, Iran, and China is interconnected theatres in the same struggle, the initial stages of a third world war. American imperialism, the strongest military power but a declining economic power, is engaged in a last-ditch effort to maintain its global hegemony against any possible challenge. Wow, this bill itself could be seen as tacit acknowledgement that we are on the precipice of a world war. What other connection is there between these three regionally disparate disputes? Well, you could argue that the military-industrial complex benefits from all three disputes, whether it's by continuing to arm certain nations that are involved in wars, or whether it's escalating tensions in other regions. But perhaps the mentality behind it is one of global war in whilst acknowledging that as an economic power, the United States is in decline, but as a military power, they are still supreme. And as the anti-TikTok bill indicates, by preparing to shut down an app used by 170 million people, in many cases to obtain information censored by the American corporate media, imperialist war is incompatible with democracy and freedom at home. Stepped up domestic repression is a necessity for the ruling elite, both to silence outright political opposition and to impose on working people the enormous sacrifices, both economically and ultimately in human lives, that such a war will entail. War against Russia, Iran, and China means a war against the American working class. That's a complex and interesting idea, but the economic implications of this escalating conflict will likely weigh heavy on particular sections of American society. And you will not be divided by religion or culture or skin tone. You will be divided by your economic class. This is once again a crisis for ordinary people, but an opportunity for the most powerful forces in the world, comparable to the pandemic, where for them it's an opportunity, comparable to the 2008 crash. For them, it's an opportunity. For you, it's foreclosure, comparable to the 2001 terrorist attacks. For you, it means that bills were created then that are still being passed, facilitating surveillance, an unnecessary war in the Middle East, causing millions of deaths and birthing new terror, not only into that region, but making it a domestic possibility in your homeland, in our homeland, and across the world, creating yet more fear, yet more tension, yet more dread, yet more opportunity for the powerful. The House passage of the war bill brought together the two capitalist parties, uniting them in support of an unlikely hero, House Speaker Mike Johnson. This unity has been actualized on the central priority of the US financial aristocracy, global war. War is necessary. It's necessary. Without war, they cannot perpetuate their systems of power. They cannot perpetuate their dominance. So it's not for humanitarian reasons. We can't allow Putin's criminal invasion. We simply have to support our allies in the Middle East. We can't allow China to get away with this. Now we begin to understand what this is really about. The perpetuation of continued control, the subjugation of foreign powers, but significantly, the necessary defeat into constant supine states, the inhabitants of the United States, the American people. House Democrats waved miniature Ukrainian flags as the roll call vote on the final passage of the funding of the Ukraine bill was carried out. When it was completed, they began chants of Ukraine, Ukraine, and had to be admonished from the chair to quiet down. The supposedly left Democrats, such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of the Democrat Socialists of America, DSA, and members of the squad, joined in celebration of the Ukraine war. Let's have a look at that. Let's see it other way, other way, other way. Let's have a look at that. Let's have a look at that moment. Indeed, there were only 21 members of Congress out of 431 that voted no against funding these perpetual wars. Doesn't that astonish you? 431, that's Democrats and Republican combined. And believe me, the Democrats and Republicans are combined. Let's have a look at that list of 21 names. Republican, 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 Republican. But those Democrats, that's the party of peace. If you vote Republican, you're a warmonger. Hold on, that doesn't make sense, does it? Now, you know me, I don't trust either party. I do not trust the system. But that's an extraordinary fact, isn't it? Particularly if you tally it, as we have, of course, done with Unusual Wales reporting on how many members of Congress will directly and personally financially benefit from this war. How staggering, how astonishing. Let's have a look at that moment of the members of your Congress whose wages you pay. Chant, clap like braying fools and animals at the expenditure of your money on foreign soil. They are shipping your tax dollars straight out of America. Meanwhile, the border to the south remains unregulated, perhaps because cheap migrant labour further destabilises the domestic population. It's win-win for them, and it's lose-lose for everybody else. There they are. That's your leaders. That's your leaders. That's the people that you voted for. Those are the people that you pay for, and they are very pro-war. Let me know in the chat how this war is benefiting you, how it's benefiting your sons and daughters or loved ones, relatives, husbands, wives that are in these fighting forces, the brave people, tens of thousands of troops in the Middle East right now, and yet more military personnel being committed to various aspects of the Ukraine-Russia conflict, and we'll be covering that later in the week. Saturday's votes demonstrated the most important reality about contemporary American politics. There is no lesser evil in the 2024 electoral contest. The lesser evil argument pretends to acknowledge the vast discontent with the Biden administration among millions of workers and youth while declaring that Trump would be still worse. But the House actions over the weekend showed one party, not two, or rather two parties united for war, not only against Russia, but throughout the world. The Democrats and Republicans agree on far more than they disagree. They agree on war, on austerity, on bailouts for the rich. And as Chomsky said, where both parties agree, you have no choice at all. Now, I know a lot of you will be concerned about the apparent island visit, so you can comb that out for yourselves. The American working class must come forward to oppose the war on policies of the twin capitalist parties, which threaten humanity with nuclear annihilation. That would surely seem to be the most important subject now. The potential for those braying maniacs and lunatics for whom we pay, who are so happy to facilitate the expenditure of your labour, your work, your toil, your graft, your life into foreign wars that are escalating catastrophe for all the world's people. No one is benefiting. No one. It's a war for the elites, by the elites, funded by everybody else. And that same political establishment has signed a bill extending warrantless spying powers in your country. But it's going to affect all of us because, well, that's the way it's set up. Let's have a look. Legislation has been extended. That's pretty much what it said there. Now, former guest of the show, Rand Paul, had some interesting things to share. And indeed, I believe he is one of the few people, actually, I would not be so reductive as to say all people in Congress, all people in the Senate, all members of Parliament, all politicians everywhere, corrupt, get rid of them. Because there are occasionally voices that resonate with you, aren't there? You hear people talking in those rooms, in those halls and those chambers of corruption that make you think, yeah, they for a minute stop chanting and braying for an unwinnable war that could be solved diplomatically, so less Ukrainian people would die, so less Ukrainian cities would be destroyed, so less Israeli lives would be lost, peace, advocate for peace, on the power of the United States of America, particularly as its power that's backed by your lifeblood and your life's work, be advocating for peace? Or shouldn't you at least be allowed to vote for it? I'd stay out of it. I'm English. If you had a vote, a nationwide referendum, hey guys, we're just about to pass a $95 billion bill. It's your country, it's your money. What do you want? How do you think it would go? The fact that there is no referendum tells you all you need to know. They know what you would do. Luckily, occasionally, a voice comes to the forefront, like the voice of Rand Paul when it comes to the issue of Pfizer Section 702, who speaks clearly, compassionately, and eloquently on exactly the risks and indeed how the system works. Make it delaying this vote until it's too late to do anything but obey. And that's what they want you to do. Obey. They'll only give you information if that information makes you obey, if that information is in alignment with their agenda. Let's listen to Rand Paul.
The idea that we don't have time is a specious one. The only reason we wouldn't have time is because the supporters of this bill delayed to the last hour. We have 5 years to renew this. We delayed it till we have 4 hours left, and then we're told we can't amend it because we don't have enough time. That is a false argument. The House is still here. They're going to be voting tomorrow. We should pass the good amendments today, send them to the House tomorrow. This is an argument that has been forced upon us by the supporters of FISA who want no debate and they want no restrictions, they want no warrants, and they want nothing to protect the Americans. They want to allow whatever goes, whatever happens, happens, and to hell with the American individual citizen and the Bill of Rights. I say don't listen to the people who don't want amendments and don't want debate, and let's pass this amendment.
On this vote, the yeas are 31, the nays are 61. Under the previous order requiring 60 votes for the adoption of this amendment, the amendment is not agreed to.
These are the kind of truths that we need to discuss and that need to be conveyed because it is continually perpetuating. Stop supporting terror, Russell. I am against terror. I am against war. I am against the fact that your deep state are funding smear campaigns in Ukraine attacking voices like, well, Mearsheimer, Glenn Greenwald, and of course me. I mean, that I'm going to take personally. American taxpayers are funding not only this war, $95 billion more, also they're paying to smear opponents of these wars. So we ask, as you struggle to pay fuel bills and escalating costs of living, are you happy to fund Ukrainian censorship of pro-peace voices and to fund the smearing of anti-war voices like mine? Here's the news. No, here's the effing news.
No, here's the fucking news.
Good news, your tax dollars are not only funding a variety of global wars, they're also funding the censorship and smearing of anti-war voices. And it's all included in one package. Actually, it isn't. You're charged separately for the whole thing. Deep state agencies have found a way to censor and shut down anti-war voices, even in Ukraine. So there are Ukrainian media outlets making content to smear anti-war voices, like this one, this voice now that's talking right now, this voice, my voice, as well as Max Blumenthal and Jimmy Dore and a variety of other people that are saying, should we have a diplomatic, peaceful solution? The deep state are funding the smearing of those voices, almost as if there's a concerted effort to ensure that war is continually perpetuated and anyone opposing war is one way or another brought down, shut down and smeared. And thanks to some great journalism, we can see the paper trail right from your pocket and your hard work into silencing anti-war voices. Let's show you how this works. First of all, Max Blumenthal posted this tweet. The State and National Endowment for Democracy, a CIA cutout, are funding shady NGOs in Kiev to smear American critics of the disastrous Ukraine proxy war. US government-sponsored Vox Ukraine has a series of videos attacking me, Jimmy Dore, Wyatt Reed 13, at Rusty Rockets, and more. Of course, you know which one I'm going to focus on primarily. Here is a piece of content created by that deep state-funded outlet attacking me.
Russell Brand is a British actor, publicist, and broadcaster who began his career as a comedian. Brand leads an outrageous lifestyle and is constantly placed in all sorts of scandals. YouTube has already stripped his channel of ad revenue for violating its creator liability policy.
By the way, we got that translated. To be fair to the host, she was saying it in Ukrainian. So that even Ukrainian people stopped liking me. What's the value of that?
Now the channel has 6.5 million subscribers, is devoid of monetization. By the way, it became especially popular during the COVID-19 pandemic, when Brand began to spread conspiracy theories about the coronavirus.
Well, quite. Conspiracy theories like maybe lockdowns haven't been correctly researched, maybe the vaccines don't stop transmission, maybe Pfizer and Moderna take too much money, maybe there's a revolving door between Big Pharma and the regulatory bodies that are meant to prevent them from exploiting the population. There was a whole host of conspiracy theories that were peddled during that period. But let's focus now not on the corruption of the pharmaceutical industry. I feel that you've been convinced of that. Let's look at the military-industrial complex and how they work in conjunction with the deep state to take your tax dollars to shut down anti-war voices. This is by the excellent journalist Li Fang. You should follow him on Substack. Ukraine's American-backed fight against Russia is taking place not only in the blood-soaked trenches of the Donbass region, but also on what military planners call the cognitive battlefield to win hearts and minds. I don't like the phrase cognitive battlefield. That means your consciousness is their territory. A sprawling constellation of media outlets organized with substantial funding and direction from the US government has not just sought to counter Russian propaganda, but has supported strong censorship laws and shutdowns of dissident outlets, disseminated disinformation of its own, and sought to silence critics of the war, including many American citizens. Economist Jeffrey Sachs, commentator Tucker Carlson, journalist Glenn Greenwald, and University of Chicago professor John Mearsheimer are among the critics of both the left and the right who have been cast as part of a network of Russian propaganda. But the figures targeted by the Ukrainian watchdog groups are hardly Kremlin agents. They simply have forcefully criticized dominant narratives around the war. Sachs is a highly respected international development expert who has angered Ukrainian officials over his repeated calls for a diplomatic solution to the current military conflict. Last November, he gave a speech at the United Nations calling for a negotiated peace. Mearsheimer has written extensively on international relations and is a skeptic of NATO expansion. He predicted that Western efforts to militarize Ukraine would lead to a Russian invasion. Greenwald is a Pulitzer Prize-winning independent journalist who has criticized not just war coverage but media dynamics that suppress voices that run counter to US narratives. What they mean when they demand censorship of pro-Russian propaganda is anything that questions the US-EU role in the Ukraine war or who dissents from their narratives, Greenwald has observed. There is no evidence of Kremlin influence over their viewpoints, but their comments alone are enough for a network of US-backed Ukrainian media groups to tarnish these experts as Russian propagandists. So, legitimate journalists like Glenn Greenwald and academics like Mearsheimer and Sachs are being tarnished as pro-Putin. I've met that Jeffrey Sachs, I know Glenn Greenwald pretty well, and they're not people that particularly, it seems to me, to have much skin in the game when it comes to geopolitical conflicts. They're, in the case of Jeffrey Sachs, just an academic who's, well, actually, no, the history of Ukraine's quite complicated. There was a coup in 2014, and like Mearsheimer, I don't know him, but I like his content and his academic work, and he seems to be simply trying to relay facts in a rather dispassionate manner. And Glenn Greenwald is a brilliant journalist who I care about as a human being, but also, I don't imagine he's someone who would just, like, for a laugh, take a bunch of money from Putin or victimize Ukraine for no good reason. These are all very credible professionals who I strongly suspect don't have powerful pro-Putin or pro-Russian views, are simply interested in telling the truth. Note, too, that these agencies and their backers are censoring voices on both the left and right. So if you're on either the left or right, remember, those distinctions don't matter anymore, and we have to recognize that peripheral anti-establishment voices have to unify, put aside their differences, if we're ever going to address this increasingly centralized and authoritarian power. US taxpayer dollars are flowing to outlets such as the New Voice of Ukraine, Vox Ukraine, Detector Media, the Institute of Mass Information, the Public Broadcasting Company of Ukraine, and many others. Some of this money has come from the $44.1 billion in civilian needs foreign aid committed to Ukraine. While the funding is officially billed as an ambitious program to develop high-quality independent news programs, counter malign Russian influence, and modernize Ukraine's archaic media laws, the news sites, in many cases, have promoted aggressive messages that stray from traditional journalistic practices to promote the Ukrainian government's official positions and delegitimize its critics. Unlike similar media development programs that the International Agency for International Development, USAID, had led throughout the Middle East, Ukrainian outlets tend to produce a great deal of English content that trickles back into the domestic American audience and explicitly targets American foreign policy discourse. The New Voice of Ukraine syndicates with Yahoo News. Vox Ukraine is a fact-checking partner with Meta, which assists in removing content deemed Russian disinformation from Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Detector Media has similarly led a consortium of non-profit groups pressuring social media platforms to aggressively remove content content critical of Ukraine. That's very interesting. So it's not just happening in Ukraine, although that video that we showed you a moment ago is in Ukrainian and therefore presumably for a Ukrainian audience. Elsewhere, New Voices of Ukraine is being syndicated with Yahoo News, which is significant. Vox Ukraine is a fact-checking partner with Meta, and they assist in removing content deemed Russian disinformation. Now, of course, if you are Ukrainian and you're living in Ukraine, your opinion on Russia might be somewhat biased. But what are the interests of these CIA carve-outs in promoting particular views and participating in the censorship, not only, it seems, of Ukrainian voices and improving Ukrainian independent media and archaic Ukrainian laws, but shutting down dissent from within your country and from within my country? Don't we have the right to express anti-war, pro-peace and diplomacy views? Again, I can't speak for those other brilliant academics and professionals, but for myself, I'm not anti-Ukraine and pro-Russian. I'm pro not spending tax dollars in perpetuating unwinnable wars, and I'm largely pro-peace and think that as a species, we should have evolved beyond the point where we're teetering on the brink of a nuclear war because people won't sit down nicely and come to some mutually agreeable solution. Congress is now weighing a new supplemental funding measure with approximately $60 billion earmarked for the war in Ukraine. A small portion of the emergency spending package is devoted to continued USAID programs in the country. Information control is a central dynamic playing out in the Ukraine-Russia war. US media have provided wide coverage of President Vladimir Putin's efforts to clamp down on critical news outlets, enacting new criminal penalties for those publishing false information about the conflict. But far less attention has been paid to the Ukraine government's crackdown on independent and opposition media, a push aided by the US-backed network of anti-disinformation groups. Even as Washington's efforts to censor information at home is drawing greater scrutiny, its support of Ukraine's efforts reflects the increasingly global reach of the American government's propaganda arms. I wouldn't imagine that things like this were happening, would you? That the CIA had carve-outs that were funding groups in Ukraine that were censoring American voices. It's quite convoluted for something that ultimately you're funding. There's an information war going on between Russia and Ukraine, and the United States is not a disinterested party. We're an active participant, said George Beebe, a director with the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. The US government has been trying to shape perceptions, and it's very difficult to separate what's intended for foreign audiences from what seeps into the Anglosphere media, if you want to call it that, including here in the United States. We can't bring you this earth-shattering, paradigm-changing content without the support of our partners and without clear heads. That's why I'm happy to tell you that Airtech are the only published, peer-reviewed, patented EMF protection solution. That means electromagnetic field, you know that. Trusted by experts, neuroscientists, doctors, biohackers, and pro-fighting athletes. Cage fighters, its effectiveness has been proven in real time using EEG brain scan demonstrations. Remove the fear and unknown levels of daily exposure and have peace of mind with AirsTech LifeTune Protection. Over 20 years invested in research and development, AirsTech technology creates synergy between you and your devices by modulating and transforming chaotic frequencies to match our own biological energy. Unlock better wellness. Go to AirsTech.com and use the code Russell30 for 30% off your entire purchase. Have one of these in your area. And remember, if you're on Awakened Wonder, you can see in our 5G video exactly why this stuff is so important. So take advantage of this offer. Click the link in the description. Let's get back to the content, baby. American influence in Ukraine's media environment stretches back to the end of the Cold War, though it has intensified in recent years. Since the outbreak of the war, USAID, or USAID, support has extended to 175 national Ukrainian media entities. Over the last decade, efforts to crack down on speech have been increasingly justified as an effort to protect social media from disinformation. The US helped set up new think tanks and media watchdogs and brought over communications specialists to guide Ukraine's approach. Nina Jankovic, the polarizing official whom President Biden appointed to lead the Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board to police social media content, previously advised the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry on its anti-disinformation work. It increasingly seems, doesn't it, that the categories of disinformation and misinformation were deliberately invented so that you could now have departments to tend to disinformation and misinformation, and so that there could be budgets for those departments, and so that those budgets could seep into media organizations that had a remit that includes censorship, shutting down dissenting voices, smearing hearing opposing voices and cleaning up social media platforms. It amounts to censorship and smearing, propaganda and control, but is so bureaucratically entangled and framed in the language of, hey, we're here to help, in the same way as the war is supposed to be humanitarian rather than some sort of colonial or for-profit endeavour, the censorship project is always seen as somehow necessary to protect us and our apparent inability to determine good from bad unless someone pre-chews our information and parcels it up nicely for us, as is clearly happening here. When Nina Yankovic and that government disinformation board were set up, I feel like there was a lot of pushback and a lot of people felt like, this isn't legit, this disinformation board. They set them up in our country as well. The BBC run them and there's all sorts of various attempts to pretend that there are groups that are there to protect us and ensure that we only get information that's good for us. I remember that many people thought, this is not legitimate. This is not reliable. It was a bit of a PR disaster and they had to change its name and repackage it and reposition it. Isn't it extraordinary to see Nina Yankovic literally outsourced to other nations to carry on the project as if it was a tremendous success? Can you get any closer to neo-colonialism and imperialism than that? We created this here in America. It's worked so well. It didn't work at all. We're going to outsource it so you can have your own disinformation and malinformation boards. That's how it looks now. Remember when we often talk about how dictatorships now won't be militaristic, but bureaucratic, technological, anodyne and astringent? Well, it's the same here with the methodology. It doesn't look like tanks rolling into town. It's like Nina Yankovic coming into town saying, we're going to help you with your misinformation and malinformation. But nevertheless, these are methods and means of control. And again, you're funding them. It's an American project. In response to questions about the US-backed anti-disinformation groups in Ukraine targeting Americans, the US State Department provided a statement saying it defines disinformation as false or misleading information that is deliberately created or spread with the intent to deceive or mislead, while noting that the US provides funding to credible, independent media organizations to strengthen democracies in the countries we work in around the world. The statement declared, we do not control the editorial content of these organizations. We're just kind of helping these guys, giving them a little leg up. Here, there's Nina Yankovic. Get that down your neck. However, disclosures indicate that the US government and its contractors tasked with reforming Ukraine's institutions have directly set the agenda for Ukrainian outlets. It's, again, eerily similar to the rhetoric around the provision of weaponry or ongoing events in the Middle East. It's none of our business. Israel can just do, I don't know what they're doing. What happened exactly? And the same in Ukraine. We're not at war with Russia. Everything's sort of being done. They're just at a keyboard, just innocently. Oh, is that an explosion? Oh, it's a genocide over there. Here, you might want to say this about Glenn Greenwald. It's none of their business. It's really odd and opaque and mysterious and frightening. Immediately after Russia invaded Ukraine 2 years ago, the USAID dispensed emergency grants to its media partners, partly through Zinc Network, a contractor based in London that's been accused of setting up covert public relations campaigns on behalf of the British government. I wonder what kind of covert public relations campaigns. The grant description notes the money went to the Zinc Network and Detector Media to assist the Ukrainian government with strategic communications and to undermine Kremlin information operations. Last September, journalist Jack Paulson reported on a leaked report from the Zinc Network's Open Information Partnership, which helps coordinate the activities of several anti-Russian disinformation non-profits around Europe backed by NATO members, including Detector Media. The lengthy report defines disinformation as not only false or misleading content, but also verifiable information which is unbalanced or skewed, amplifies or exaggerates certain elements for effect, or uses emotive or inflammatory language to achieve effects which fit within existing Kremlin narratives, aims, or activities. I sense they get a bit closer to me when I see terms like emotive and inflammatory language. But what I will tell you is that I'm not trying to fit within existing Kremlin narratives, because I don't actually know what existing Kremlin narratives are, although I'll take a wild guess that they prefer that Russia's agenda were pursued globally and in regional conflicts. But that sometimes converges with my general belief that we should be pursuing peace and not funding unwinnable wars that could lead to nuclear Armageddon. I don't know if that's part of the Kremlin's deal or not. We'll look into it. In other words, factual information with emotional language that simply overlaps with anything remotely connected to Russian viewpoints is considered disinformation, according to this US-backed consulting firm helping to guide the efforts of Ukrainian think tanks and media. I think that's all quite telling, actually. It's like they want to keep us in a sort of a flat, bureaucratic, anodyne environment. Because think how that could be applied to a variety of subjects if this was allowed to continue. You know, some of these organizations, like Logically AI, are working in your country in the lead up to the presidential election. So if you've like got strong feelings and you use emotive language online on social media sites, that's disinformation. That was some emotional language. Hey,
I don't like the way my country is being controlled by bureaucrats who just seem to want forever wars. That was a bit emotional. Well, I am emotional about wars. Sorry, you are... You can't censor people for being emotional and telling the truth. That's censoring a type of person and a type of trait. It's not about facts, it's about how you express those facts. So if you're like just a good communicator, they're gonna shut you down. They'll get you one way or other. But everything I said was true. Yeah, but you actually there's some quite good jokes in there, so I'm afraid we're gonna have to kill you. Where's this going? Many of the broad narratives the report identified as Russian disinformation follow this vague rubric. These included allegations that NATO is using Ukraine as a pawn in a proxy war against Russia and concerns that Ukrainian politicians are corrupt. Allegations that NATO is using Ukraine as a pawn in a proxy war. Do you not think that's like a possibility? Is that not something that you would consider when they're involved in the 2014 coup, when there are CIA bases all over Ukraine and that Russia is a long-standing enemy in a war for global supremacy? It seems perfectly reasonable. Ukrainian politicians are corrupt. That is also a matter of record. Right, now we're getting it. If you say actual facts that they don't like or they don't want you to hear, they'll shut you down. So it starts off all very nice, doesn't it? This misinformation could mislead people and lead them to make medical choices that are bad for them and their family. And that's it. That's the category of misinformation. Also, though, if you say stuff that's true, but it doesn't work for Pfizer or Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or the CIA, that's also misinformation. Also, though, we like NATO. I mean, what's left? This is what's left. Thank you. Yes, please. No, thank you. Okay, I'll go to work, have my taxes. But in the end, compliance. That's what's left for you. Compliance. Ukraine's government has also worked with US government officials and others to censor its American critics. One prominent example is Aaron Mattei, an independent journalist who has criticized US policy regarding Ukraine in other outlets. It's nice, it's just like reading all my mates. It's like if this was at school. Hey, I know him! Following the Russian invasion, Twitter, under its old ownership, flagged Mattei to be censored after the Security Service of Ukraine, SBU, and the Ukrainian intelligence agency included him on a list of accounts sent to the FBI that were suspected by the SBU in spreading fear and disinformation. Fear? I'm afraid you spread fear then. Wait a minute. This is actually an abstract concept. Sir, you just spread ennui and disappointment. A journalist writing a critique on US involvement in a foreign war has had his name sent to the FBI. Doesn't that concern you a little bit if you consider America's history and involvement in foreign wars, like, I don't know, Vietnam, Iraq, and all foreign wars ever, except perhaps the ones against actual Nazis? You would have questions, wouldn't you? That shouldn't be, sir, someone somewhere has got an opinion on American involvement in foreign war. Well, get that all the way to Hoover.
Mr. Vice President, someone finally bought a copy of your book, sir.
But that's something that should just be accepted in a democracy. And the fact that it isn't shows you where we are going. Just to have an opinion, just to write an article, just to oppose the powerful is becoming contraband. And while they're doing it, they're telling you that they're helping you. That's what makes it all the more terrifying for me. When we talk about dictatorships, sometimes maybe it sounds hyperbolic. Don't be ridiculous. You're free to do as you choose. There's a McDonald's over there. You could buy yourself some candy bars. But when a journalist writing about American involvement in foreign wars is flagged and his details are sent to the FBI, that is not freedom. That's not liberty. That's how you move towards dictatorship. What's happening, it seems to me, is that we are increasingly moving in the direction of centralized power and being told that to question that process is in itself hysterical, hyperbolic, conspiratorial, but it's evident it's happening. Like, if you think about it, Aaron Mattei, I don't know if you know much about Aaron Mattei, but he's like an intelligent journalist. Like, that don't seem right. You know, he's not like a lunatic. He's not like, oh, Russia. That's not the vibe he's on at all. You might, if you Googled Aaron Mattei, what'll come up is conspiracy theorist or nut job or grey zone. But this is what's being created here. What we're seeing is the machinery that discredits dissent and legitimizes, and more than legitimizes, normalizes almost invisibly the shutting down of dissent and the crushing of critics through supporting independent media. Do you think for a minute that a CIA carve-out is like doing some philanthropic work? Because you know what worries me? It's Ukrainian independent media. Those underdogs can't get a break. Well, let's get over there and support those guys. Give them some dollars. Send Nina Yankovic. Nina! But it's about control. It's not about anything else, is it? Suddenly it gives you a different context for what happens to a figure like Alex Jones, who's controversial and rhetorically quite evangelical. Oh, well, it's Alex Jones. He's crazy. He said those crazy things about Sandy Hook. He should be annihilated. Well, now we know the CIA were involved in that and were guiding that.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can.
Now we know that the CIA are not only interested in zealous, evangelical, fanciful figures that are full of flair. It's like now it's Glenn Greenwald is a problem, and Aaron Maté, and Jeremy Sachs, and Mearsheimer, like these sort of quite staid academics. Alex Jones is crazy. Oh yeah, he seems a bit crazy. Puffy cheeks and that stuff he said about frogs.
I don't like him putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
Yeah, crazy. And plus, Glenn Greenwald. Oh, what? Like, was married to a man? Doesn't he, like, adopt a lot of dogs? And didn't he win a Pulitzer Prize? Yeah, he's crazy. And Aaron Maté, what? Gabor Maté's son, who's the journalist. Yeah, he's crazy as well. So, obviously, things like the Alex Jones takedown, or maybe Joe Rogan, Ivermectin, CNN, or maybe old Russ, these things are like sort of vivid, glaring, ugh, colourful entertainment-style characters. They're a bit crazy. And then it's like credible journalists, academics, and you start thinking, well, what's the common thread here then? Is it that these are sort of dangerous figures that are a risk to their audience, or is it that there's just some information that you are not allowed? You are the problem in the end. What they've worked out is if you have the kind of information that Aaron Maté or Glenn Greenwald or Jeffrey Sachs are conveying and spreading and populating, or in the more entertainment skewed aspect of this, people like me are talking about, then you're going to go, well, I'm not paying those tax dollars anymore. I'm not participating in this. And increasingly, that's what you're getting. You're people that are, you're getting a situation where people serving in the American military are not pro foreign wars. I mean, once you get to that point, it's actually quite tentative. So this has to become increasingly insidious and immersive to prevent its own demise. Just months after the social media request, Ross Burley, a former Zinc Network and Open Information Partnership official, now with the Center for Information Resilience, spoke openly about his desire to censor critics of the war, including Maté. Burley argued that social media platforms needed more responsibility regarding what types of content to allow. Even I saw Russell Brand, who has a huge following on YouTube, was interviewing a journalist called Aaron Maté on his channel, said Burley, who added that it is incredibly irresponsible for YouTube and other social media companies to continue to host these people. Well, by some eerie coincidence, YouTube, as you saw in that Ukrainian video, don't know who funds that, demonetized me quite recently. What a coincidence. The organization, supported by the US government, have also sought to silence critics inside Ukraine. Before the war, in one of President Zelensky's first controversial acts to stifle political opposition, he moved in February 2021 to close multiple television channels over allegations of Kremlin ties. Oh wow, so maybe those ties were not legitimate either. In May 2022, the Zelensky government widely expanded his efforts to outlaw the political opposition. Zelensky moved to ban 11 political parties over alleged ties to Russia. So ties to Russia is like a sort of weapon. Ties to Russia. Ties to Russia. Ties to Russia. The function of it is to eliminate dissenting voices. I feel like I have to continually remind you, like, I know Ukrainian people. I don't want Ukrainian people to die. I just think that probably the Ukrainian government and the Russian government and the American government and the British government are all corrupt and we'd be better off without them. Later that summer, other bills to crack down on media rights that had failed to pass in the past over civil liberty concerns were brought back into consideration. Among the on media law's most contentious provisions is the power granting a council controlled by Zelensky and his allies to ban media outlets without a court order. Now, they are a nation at war, and again, I would suggest you have a look at what Jeffrey Sachs says about how that war began and how they found themselves in that position and why there wasn't a peace treaty signed when one was available. And during times of war, censorship, I suppose, and centralized control is common, and perhaps it could be argued under some circumstances necessary. But if you remember, what we read and receive everywhere is that we are supporting this war. What is one of the words you hear? For freedom. For democracy. And whatever shutting down political opponents and media outlets is, it's not democracy. It's not democracy when Ukraine do it. It's not democracy when CIA carve-outs do it. It's not democracy when they do it to brilliant journalists or academics or online YouTubers. It's not democracy. Free speech is a principle for a reason. And you can see now that the creation of the category of misinformation and the normalization of censorship is part of a play to generate further power and tools to control the potential opposition to that power. Ukraine's National Union of Journalists described the bill as the biggest threat to free speech in independent Ukraine's history. They're also Ukrainian. That's some other Ukrainian people. Support Ukraine. Which Ukraine? The Ukraine that believes in free speech, or the Ukraine that facilitates massive weapon sales? In the midst of the first months of the Russian invasion, many in Ukraine readily accepted the need for emergency government influence. The Ukrainian government condensed the major television channels into a single United News national broadcast that continues today. That's so sort of brazen, isn't it? Dun, dun, dun! United News. What does that mean?
This is the only news you're getting.
Many journalists voluntarily paused critical reporting of the Ukrainian government to focus on coverage of the Russian invasion. Now, over 2 years into the conflict, reporters are facing new difficulties in reporting on routine issues. Journalists taking a critical look at the government are facing intimidation and threats. Expressing viewpoints that run counter to Ukraine and NATO policies with respect to the war is enough to make an individual an enemy of the state. And of course, you'll be aware and perhaps in your mind repeating the name of Gonzalo Lira, the American journalist who died in Ukraine after saying he probably would die in Ukraine, whose name is seldom mentioned among other journalists imprisoned in foreign lands for writing the truth about the wars and conflicts they're reporting on. So it seems to me that what we have here, thanks to Li Fang's reporting, is another piece in the puzzle that demonstrates how media, the deep state, and powerful corporations work together to create an environment in which only their ideas are allowed to be communicated. It's only because it's so brazen when it's pieced together that you begin to feel irked and outraged by it, because generally, this is normalized. The category of misinformation and disinformation and malinformation that you've heard here described as people speaking emotionally and passionately, telling the truth, is now a problem worthy of censorship. Academics, journalists, prize-winning journalists, online YouTubers, all shut down for the same reason. Not because what they're saying is untrue, but because what they're saying runs counter to the intentions of the powerful. So next time you see someone smeared, attacked, shut down, you have a series of questions in front of you to ask. What is the reason this person or this information is being cancelled, destroyed, or eliminated? Is it in order to protect me? Or is it because they are a part in a chain, however small or insignificant, that could lead to dissent, objection, resistance, revolution, and therefore prevent what seems increasingly like a global scheme for total control from reaching its terrifying climax? But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments and chat? Click the link in the description, join our movement, get additional content, and help us to oppose this incredible madness that's fully immersive, it seems, at this point. More important than that, if you can, stay free.
No, here's the fucking news.